from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you, and by support from the Central Indiana Community Foundation, the Indiana Arts Commission, a state agency, and by the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today, I'll see what's going on with the Akers Theater of Indiana.
I'll get a preview of the Stutz artist show, Power Over Poverty.
And I'll chat with artist Jay Parnell about a recent trip he took to Holland. And of course, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What do we do? All this and more right after the latest news from NPR. Where can you see 20 Broadway shows in one evening? Through the end of August, you can see that and more when the Actors Theater of Indiana brings back Forbidden Broadway, the irreverent musical theater review. Travis DiNicola spoke with Actors Theater producing artistic director Don Farrell about their encore production of the show.
Don, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Always nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. So, Forbidden Broadway, this is... if there's one show you're going to see, I suppose, you know, this year, this is sort of like packing in, what, like 30 shows into one night or 20 shows
or something? Exactly. You don't even have to be a big theater connoisseur to enjoy it.
Okay.
We had a run originally back in April and into mid-May, and it was such a huge success. We were performing only on Wednesday nights, which we thought might be a little bit of an odd bird.
Yeah.
And it is, But we thought, it'll do okay, but it was received extremely well. And so we've been very blessed with a big hit. And so we decided to bring it back again this summer, and it packs in about 20 to 30 Broadway shows. And we parody Chicago, Les Mis, Phantom of the Opera, The Lion King, Annie, Cats, Beauty and the Beast, so many others, shows that I'm sure many of your viewers have never heard of before.
it's not a review. It's not like necessarily a Las Vegas-style review with a little bit of each show. It honors the shows, but it does parody them, as you said.
Exactly, with love. back in, 1988, or I can't remember, 1988 or 84, Gerard Alessandrini in New York City thought, let's take whatever's playing on Broadway at the time and parody it, joke around with it. It's somewhat of a Saturday Night Live for the theater.
Okay.
And, like a lot of people say, you never really have made it until they're parodying you on Saturday Night Live. The exact same thing was said about Forbidden Broadway. And so over the years, they've amassed this amazing canon of material.
Because they keep on adding to it.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Whatever's happening on Broadway at the time, they'll take a song from that show, change the lyrics, tweak it, and play around with it. And it's great because it's not only great for the audience members and the people who love those shows and all the shows on Broadway, but also, a lot of the stars would come in and see themselves being parodied, like Carol Channing and Liza Minnelli, Barbara Streisand. They were big fans as well of this show. And so ever since back in the 80s when they started it, obviously all the way up until just recently, I think it closed its doors back in March of this year.
Okay.
And so it was just recently licensed out, and we're one of the first regional theater companies in the nation to be able to get the rights to it.
That's great.
And so it's always been like a little cult classic in New York City playing off Broadway for years and years and years, but this is the first time they've licensed it out to other theater companies.
Now let me ask you this, because I was always a little unclear with Forbidden Broadway. Are there sort of like editions of it, like the 2005, 2006, 2007 edition, as it keeps getting updated?
Absolutely.
So what edition do you guys get? Since it just got licensed, do you get, within the past couple of years, or how does that work?
It's the very first year they've ever decided to close up shop in New York City and make a little money, to be honest with you. So that's why they're and what they're licensing out right now is Forbidden Broadway, The Greatest Hits, Volume 1.
Okay.
And so, and through our Cindy Collins, and Judy Fitzgerald, my co-founders with ATI, when we were living in New York City, Cindy was really good friends with Billy Kimmel. And Billy Kimmel is an actor whom we would worked with several times in New York City. But he had been with the original creative team for the past 10 years. And so when we got the license to do the show, mm-hmm. we called up Billy and said, "Hey, Billy, you want to come out to Indianapolis and learn the and teach us the show and show us all the ins and outs of it?" And because of his relationship with the creators, the exciting thing for Actors Theatre of Indiana is that he had the blessing of Gerard and all of the other writers to be able to tweak even the first licensing out.
Oh, that's great.
To take certain songs out that he thought, well, this probably won't fit as well here. Maybe this song would be better in place. And they said, yeah, you can do whatever you want to, Billy. So we have the blessing of that. And that's a very, very unique thing for us for Actors Theatre.
And you really do have, I mean, sort of like all the classics from the past 20, 30 years represented, as you mentioned, Chicago, Cats, Les Mis, Annie, Phantom of the Opera, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, I mean, all those.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So obviously, if you know, you are a, as an audience member, a big fan of Broadway musicals, this is a great show. But it's still, it's even if maybe you haven't seen all those shows, it's still a lot of fun.
Absolutely. If you are a big theater connoisseur, you will get the inside jokes. If you are not, mm-hmm. you will still laugh immensely. A lot of the people that were saying, we got one patron who said, you know, I felt like I just went to an aerobics class, but I got to have a glass of wine.
Hey, well, and speaking of the wine, this is actually dinner theater, right?
It is. It is. We're at the Oak Hill Mansion in Carmel off of 116th Street and, mm-hmm. and Hazeldell. And Bob Zare and everybody at the mansion have been just amazingly supportive of Actors Theatre of Indiana. And so we're really excited to offer not only a great show in Carmel and the surrounding areas, but also a dinner and a show. And we have the option to either have dinner and the show, which is $45,
mm-hmm.
or have just show only. You can go to dinner somewhere else or have dinner at home and then come to see the show.
Well, that's a really nice option.
For $25 plus two drink minimum.
Okay.
And
That's very reasonable, because then that way, you know, if you've already got plans, or some people, you know, love theater but don't always love dinner theater,
mm-hmm,
people do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a, you know, good way to get around all that.
Yeah, and for a special time, what we're doing, Actors Theatre of Indiana is reaching out to everybody due to the economy and everything that's so difficult. We've decided to, if you go to our website, www.actorstheatreofindiana.org, you can go to current season and click on the ad that has a $10 off coupon that you can print up and get $10 off the dinner and the show. So all of a sudden your $45 ticket becomes $35.
Cool.
And that makes it a lot more easier, accessible for people to get out and have a good time and not break the bank.
Now, your shows are on actually Wednesdays and Thursday nights,
mm-hmm.
is that right? No weekends.
No weekends.
Okay.
No weekend. Okay. We're keeping the enigma alive, so to speak, from our first run. It seemed to do so well. And so it's something. So also, at the same time, if you're a big theater lover and you have tickets for a show that's going on the weekend, go to the Phoenix, go to IRT, mm-hmm. go to Beef and Boards, go to all the other theaters during the weekend, but come check us out during the middle of the week.
Sure.
You'll have a great time. It'll help keep your spirits up during the midweek.
Tell me a bit more about Actors Theatre of Indiana. You mentioned Cindy, who you work with, and there's sort of a trio of you that rolled into town maybe, what, about 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
with this professional theater?
Yeah, 2005. We
okay.
moved here from New York City. And I'm originally from Atlanta, Georgia,
mm-hmm.
and I met my wife, Judy, in New York City. And, you know, so many actors go to New York, as you feel like if you want to make it in the business, you got to go to New York. And so I moved to New York, and I met Judy, and we became married. And after 9/11, it caused the entire nation to really reflect upon what was important to
mm-hmm.
us and what... get back to your roots, so to speak. And Judy was born and raised here. She went to North Central High School, and all of her family is here. So she has a really, really strong network here, obviously. And we had always talked and dreamed, just as like so many other actors do, of having your own theater company.
Sure, sure.
And Cindy Collins is a good, good friend of both of ours. And she and I used to be dance partners back in the day. When mm-hmm. I had the body of a dancer.
Well, you still do on radio.
Oh, yes. That's right. I look fabulous. but you know, the three of us became somewhat of a triumvirate, if you will, in the regional theater market, doing a lot of shows together, directing. I'll direct, Cindy would choreograph, Judy would star in it, and we'd change, the roles would be interchangeable at theaters in Georgia and in Pennsylvania and all over. So mm-hmm. we've kind of, like the actors taking that New York plunge, you know, yeah. you just have to jump into it. We kind of decided to take the plunge out and jump into Indianapolis and, you know, have a yard and have a family and start, you know, all the other things that we dreamt about.
And
but at the same time, do what we're so passionate about, and we believe that we're able to bring our own little niche of specialty to the area without stepping on anybody else's programming, which was really important to us. Mm-hmm.
And it's also not just the three of you who are performing. You've
no,
got many
absolutely.
Other actors that that you're working with. Tell me a bit about the cast for Forbidden Broadway.
Well, yeah, it's going to be Judy and Cindy and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Billy Kimmel actually opened the run back in April. And then we had Jeff Stockberger take over the role. He's currently directing at Beef and Boards. Their big hit now, and now we have Gary DeMumbrum, who is the mm-hmm. theater manager at the Lilly Theater at the Children's Museum.
Sure.
And he is a wonderful, wonderful asset also, and a wonderful addition
great singer.
To the company. Great
mm-hmm.
singer, great actor, hysterical, very, very funny, very talented, and also the very, very talented Terry Woods, who I'm sure everybody in the theater circles knows Terry and all of his many talents. Not only is he at the piano, making that instrument sound like an orchestra, but he also designed all the costumes. And let me tell you, you just have to see it just for the costumes. He did an amazing job.
And again, the costumes are an homage, a parody, but very
yes.
respectful of these shows.
Oh, yeah, you just mm-hmm. have to experience it.
Very good. Now, with Actors Theater, do you have a regular season? You're performing Forbidden Broadway at the Mansion at Oak Hill up in Carmel, but that's not always where you perform, or is...
That's not always where yeah. we perform. We've been somewhat of a vagabond, mm-hmm. you know, the nomads, that, if you will, of the area, and because we don't have one of the blessings of having our own theater space, like some theater companies in town, which is wonderful, we've been forced to have to be mobile,
mm-hmm.
which, especially during this economy, our negative has turned into a positive because we don't have the overhead that IRT or Phoenix has
sure.
and other theater companies. So we've been trying to use that to our benefit. But we have been renting a lot of venues around town. We've presented before. Back when we started in 2005, we were at the Zionsville Performing Arts Center. And then we were down at the Indiana Historical Society. And then we went to a lot of the shows we've been doing recently have been the Pike Performing Arts Center. And we're looking at bringing back A Year with Frog and Toad in December. It's our annual holiday
mm-hmm.
hit.
Right.
Everybody does holiday shows, and
mm-hmm.
some are doing
frog
nutcrackers,
and
we're doing frogs and toads and mm-hmm. little creatures. But it's a great, great hit, and we'll be bringing that again back in December. We're not too sure exactly where we're going to be. We're in talks right now with Pike, and we're in talks with some other theater mm-hmm. venues around town, but check out our website, and you'll have more information about that.
And stay updated on other upcoming shows as
mm-hmm,
well.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great. Well, Don, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in, and definitely looking forward to getting out and seeing Forbidden Broadway.
Travis DiNicola with Don Farrell from the Actors Theater of Indiana. Their production of Forbidden Broadway runs on Wednesdays and some Thursdays through August 27th at the Mansion at Oak Hill in Carmel. Visit ActorsTheaterOfIndiana.org, and they spell theater T-H-E-A-T-R-E. So ActorsTheaterOfIndiana.org for more information. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
Two local artists are challenging common perceptions of poverty and fighting poverty by stocking food bank shelves with an exhibition of new work at the Stutz Art Space from August 7th through August 28th. In creating the new work for the exhibition, Derek Powell and Kevin Smola ask themselves what poverty truly means. Who are the poor among us? How is poverty different today than in the past? How can we as a community help those affected by poverty? Powell and Smola's abstract oil paintings and drawings play on concepts and stereotypes surrounding wealth and poverty. Sharon Gamble learned more about the exhibit and its inspiration from Derek and Kevin.
Kevin, where did this idea come from? Where did the idea for this exhibition and auction and all that start?
Well, when Derek and I got together for this show, we wanted to really create something that resonated with the community. Mm-hmm. And it turns out this idea of power over poverty resonates more with just our community. It resonates with everyone because we as a community and as a nation have really kind of come in contact with this. No matter how close we are to it, it's affected us all in some way. We know somebody who's lost their home, their job, you know, their car, what have you. So we thought it would really be timely and a great idea to do something that these people can really grab onto and as well bring awareness to, you know, this plight by helping out a charitable organization such as Cleaners Food Bank.
Yeah. We should say just right up front that the opening reception includes a silent auction and it benefits Gleaners Food Bank, which of course has done a great service in our community to many people. Derek, in the process of working on this, do you remember how you defined poverty at the beginning and maybe as you got a little deeper, has your vision of what poverty is changed at all?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think when you start out, you really start to think of some of the stereotypes of what poverty is. So mainly, I guess I at the beginning was thinking financial. I mean, most of that, most of my thoughts were really centered on that. But as I went further along, I started to think about topics such as social poverty or relational poverty, and just the poverty that is much greater than, well, I guess one way of thinking about it is even the wealthiest person who has the biggest bank account can still be poor in many ways. So I was trying to basically blast through some of the stereotypes surrounding poverty after a while.
How did you each approach this in terms of what works of art perhaps you'd done already that fit this show or maybe new pieces that you created?
Well, all of our work is going to be new for this show.
Ah.
And we felt that we couldn't really take previous pieces that we had and adapted them to such a specific cause. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, we kind of, again, like Derek said, we took those ideas and kind of turned them on their head or had a little bit of double entendre with them, and so kind of people can get those concepts across through the pieces.
Give me an example of one that has that visual pun or the double entendre in it. What?
Oh, well, one of the pieces that I have up for auction is called Another Day, Another Dollar. To you and I, we probably say that all the time. You pass by a coworker.
Just an expression.
Yeah, just an expression, but for a guy on the street, you know, another day is another dollar, and
right.
A dollar, you know, to him is something, you know, worth a lot more to us.
If you have employment, you take it for granted. It
exactly.
is just kind of a S2D2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Huh. And a lot of the pieces are, or all of the pieces are abstract?
No. Most of Kevin's work is abstract, but I, most of the work I'm doing is figurative. So basically it has a human image in it one way or the other. Although it's very stylized, not completely representational.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys know each other before getting together for this project?
We'd kind of crossed paths with previous shows that we've done, yeah. We knew of each other's work, and when I was kind of thinking about who to show with, when first approached about having a show during the month of August, I thought of Derek's work would be a nice compliment to mine, because it had kind of It just seemed to fit better. You know, he wasn't exactly too abstract or too figurative, but with my work being abstract, I wanted something to not exactly blend in with mine, but to
sure.
add a nice contrast.
To complement it mm-hmm. in a way.
Yeah.
And how have you encountered one another? Through the Stutz? Or
through the Stutz, through the open houses, through, I think, like, I've seen it at the winter shows, the
yeah.
holiday shows.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah, especially at the big open house in mm-hmm. April.
Yeah.
I've seen Kevin at a few events surrounding that, and, you know, we kind of met each other and talked a little bit. So
give us a little behind the scenes about what it's like. You're essentially doing an arranged marriage of sorts, a partnership that, you know, it's kind of like a blind date in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen each other's work. You've probably
sure.
said hello. You've probably shaken hands before. But all of a sudden now you're working together on a project like this. Do you walk down the hall and check in on each other? Do you say, hey, I just finished this piece. Come see what you think. Or are you working still fairly independently of one another?
When we were first getting started off, we definitely kind of touched base a little bit, and I would go down to Kevin's studio, and we would talk through some of the stuff. But I think both of us are, you know, we try to juggle, you know, our careers during the day with,
right.
you know, being an artist as well. So we're not always there at the same time at the studio, and so we'll email each other, see how it's going. And but, yeah, it's... We definitely, when we first talked about the show, we, you know, got together over a beer and talked for 2 or 3 hours about just some of the basic concepts and ideas around the theme of poverty and wealth.
Do you remember, and I know I'm prying here, but that's what this program's about. We want to get inside your heads. I'm
Go
not a
it.
Visual artist. I want to know what this is like. Do you remember, either of you, anything that the other one said that later on came back to you in the form of a little muse on your shoulder saying, oh, my gosh, that's how I will frame, not as in literal picture frame, but that is an approach to this piece of art that I'm about to create? Or was there
sure.
anything that specific?
Well, for me, it was kind of more of a general idea, and when we talked, Derek kind of first mentioned the idea of not just thinking monetarily
sure.
for poverty, kind of turning those ideas on their head, and it kind of made me think a bit deeper, you know, and kind of come up with these ideas and concepts that don't exactly go across the, you know, normal lines that we think of,
mm-hmm.
but kind of give it a different spin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, just when we were getting together, I think Kevin had mentioned that he had started to look around the community in a different way. And that kind of made me, you know, start looking at people and situations differently. And of course, after I started the work, then, you know, as I'm walking around downtown or something, you know, I'm thinking about the show and about the work I'm doing. And I'm also looking at people and maybe quite a bit closer than I have before.
Very personal question here. Have either of you ever experienced any of those kinds of poverty that you're exploring in this show?
Good question. I myself have not experienced it personally, but there have been people very close to me that have lost their jobs, and I see kind of the toll it takes on them. And it's tough. I mean, it's especially when you see it firsthand, and it's hard. And you want to do everything you can to help them, but you may not have necessarily all the resources. So I think with kind of the show, it kind of helps bring a broader perspective. And if I can kind of bring awareness to this, hopefully I'm doing my part to kind of help
mm-hmm.
move in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately it will kind of trickle down and,
yeah.
and help
yeah.
those people.
Yeah, that's really a good question. I've witnessed a lot of poverty. After I graduated from college, I spent a year volunteering in West Africa.
Really?
Through a mission organization. And just that level of poverty, just seeing it takes the poverty here and makes it look, you know, like it's a really high standard of living.
Mm.
So I think that gave me a lot of perspective, but one thing that really touched me when I was having that experience was people who I would consider very poor would have me over for like a very large meal, and I knew that they had spent basically the equivalent of a week's salary just to have me over, you know, for dinner. And so, you know, that kind of put some perspective on things for me, and it kind of made me think about, okay, well, these people really aren't poor if
right.
they can give.
What are? It brings up the definition of how do you define rich.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, mm-hmm. yeah.
The Power Over Poverty Art Exhibition and Silent Auction, it benefits Gleaners Food Bank. It's at Stutz Art Space Gallery, 212 West 10th Street, B110. You enter from 10th Street via Bearcat Alley, and we'll repeat that in a minute. If you're driving, don't scramble for a pen. You're opening on August 7th, a Friday, with a reception from 5 to 9 and a silent auction from 5 to 8. It's free admission. You can get more info at stutzartists.com. You're encouraging folks to bring non-perishable food items for Gleaners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the free cost. Bring something.
Yeah.
Bring
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Good
help
items.
Stock those shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. As we're having this conversation, it's still a few days before the exhibition. Are you still completing work, or is it?
I am.
Am I not supposed to ask that?
No, that's
that an embarrassing
fine.
Question?
Well,
I'm actually painting right now.
I see. Yeah. It's on the radio. Thank you. It's not what you're doing on the other side. Okay.
Yeah, I think I have a couple pieces left, but. You know, maybe a couple all-nighters, but hopefully nothing too serious. But I expect to be complete and dry by showtime.
But don't touch without permission. Okay.
I might need a hairdryer to make sure everything's totally dry. But no, I'm still working too, definitely. Yeah.
Some of these pieces are drawings and some are oil paintings. What's sort of the balance in the show? Is it half and half? Is it
mostly oil paintings?
Mm-hmm.
All of Kevin's work is oil. Mine. The silent auction pieces are actually ink drawings that are framed and matted.
Oh, cool.
And they're actually the sketches of the concepts that I did for my larger oil paintings.
Is there a piece that you'll be sad when it gets snapped up, when somebody buys it?
Hmm.
That's a good question.
Well, I try not to get too attached to my pieces for that reason, but there are always those few that kind of linger because you had that great idea, that great concept, and it worked out just exactly how you saw it in your head. There might be a couple. I hesitate to name them, but I think I'll...
We'll ask you at the event. How about
okay.
that? Anything that you're going to cry, Derek, when it goes?
Yeah, I'm kind of like Kevin, too. I kind of, I'm really into the piece when I do it, but then there's kind of like a separation after it's finished. But yeah, there are a couple pieces that I feel like I've kind of went into a new direction and really kind of discovered some new pathways for working for myself. So yeah, there's a couple pieces I'll be sad to let go, but usually they find good homes.
Yeah, I'm trying not to be too selfish.
Yeah, it makes you rich in a way, knowing that your work is out there in the world, making
Absolutely.
Someone else happy.
Helps a good cause, too.
Yeah. Sharon Gamble with Derek Powell and Kevin Smola. Their art exhibit, Power Over Poverty, opens Friday, August 7th at the Stutz Art Space Gallery, 212 West 10th Street in B110. You enter from 10th Street via the alley. The exhibition opens at noon, but there will be an opening reception from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. and a silent auction that closes at 8 p.m. After that, the exhibition is open Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. or by appointment through August 28th.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
You know what I've noticed when I've been in some stores recently?
Back to school stuff?
Yes.
Already?
It makes me so sad.
Did you get your Trapper Keeper?
Trapper
Those
Keeper.
Those are the best.
Oh, and the new pencil box. And
a new mirror for your locker.
Yeah. No, but you know what? I say resist back to school. I say take advantage of the fact that there's at least a full month, and actually, technically by the calendar, more like 7 more weeks
of
summer.
Yes.
So take advantage and do some cool arts things, and we have some ideas for you on our calendar that we call
What do
we
do?
What do you got?
Well, bringing Broadway back to Broadripple. Tom Stoppard's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead is being performed August 7th, 8th, 14th, and 15th at the Central Space at North Central Avenue in Broadripple. And this is a production by Stage Worthy Productions. If you've never seen it, well, it's a great sort of fun playoff of basically what happens after Hamlet ends. And again, this is Stage Worthy Productions in Broadripple.
Very fun. Hey, Cumberland Arts is going to market. The outreach program called Cumberland Arts is combining an arts festival along with their farmers market on Saturday, August 8th from 10 to 4. And there'll be artists, individual artist booths, live entertainment, a variety show. Of course, the farmers market with all the fresh tomatoes and other goodies. And kids activities that are safe and secure, so you can drop the kids and go shop for produce and take in all the good stuff. And that's going on in Cumberland, just a stone's throw east of Indianapolis. You can get more information about that at CumberlandFBC.org. CumberlandFBC.org. Cumberland goes to market August 8th.
One of my favorite summer events is always the Jazz at the Zoo. Animals and all that jazz. And we're about halfway through the season, but coming up this Thursday, August 6th, Harvey and the Blue Tones is going to be playing. And then on the 13th, Orquesta Bravo and Bill Langton wraps it up on August 20th. So it's every Thursday night at the Zoo. If you're a Zoo member, admission is free. Otherwise, you do pay for entrance to the Zoo, but check out the cool concerts. If you get there early, then a lot of the animals are still actually out through zoo hours. The concerts run from 5:30 to 8:30, and it's kind of a neat way to see the zoo after hours a bit, and a lot of the animals are still, like, hanging out.
They're grooving to the tunes.
Jazz, grooving to jazz. The lemurs love it.
I know. You haven't lived until you've seen, like, the flamingos and the lemurs
dancing to the jazz. Yeah. All very fun. It's great. It's a neat way, especially to share jazz with your kids.
Absolutely. Casual, relaxed, a lot of fun. Something else that's fun is the IMA Films on the Terrace, and Friday night, August 7th, it's Hustle and Flow. Hustle and Flow. You probably don't want to bring little kids to that one.
No.
Take them to jazz at the zoo and then get a babysitter when you go see Hustle and Flow. But yeah, you can take your own picnic, and it's just very grand. You can bring non-alcoholic beverages. Adult beverages are available for purchase on site. And you can bring blankets and lawn chairs. And you can even pop inside the IMA until 9 o'clock on Fridays before you watch the movie. So there's a great way to take advantage of the remaining summer day.
Hey. Speaking of doing things outdoors during the summer, Saturday, August 1st is the last performance of Shakespeare on the Canal. It's part of the Free Family Arts Series at the White River State Park, and the Heartland Actors Repertory Theater is presenting Much Ado About Nothing, Shakespeare. That's right. There you go. And that is taking place again at 6:30 is when it all starts. Saturday, August 1st, down at the White River. And get there early to get a good seat. You can take a picnic. You can take a bottle of wine. There will actually be musicians on the stage performing before the show starts. Should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Well, as much as I started this calendar protesting back to school, I know if you have college-age kids, you better be getting organized to get them back to school, because they're due there very soon, and I know you're getting them, their bedding and their all their appointments that they need for their dorm rooms or wherever they're going to be living. If you have littler kids, though, here's a chance to do some fun stuff at the Children's Museum and also get the littler kids ready for back to school. On Thursday, August 6th, families can enjoy activities at the Children's Museum pretty much all afternoon and into the evening. And activities, I have to tell you, here's how the press release starts. It's that time of year again when summer fades and school waits over the horizon.
Oh,
makes me sad. But one of the things they're doing, this is actually very smart. They're going to have a yellow school bus parked at the museum, so kids can practice getting on and off before the first day of school, which if you have little kids, that's a very good thing. Kids can learn to dance to Zumba, which is a fusion of Latin music that creates fun and effective fitness. They can meet Tamika Catchings and learn
from the fever. Very
yeah,
cool.
Absolutely. And learn some other exercise moves. And it's just a great event. And, of course, you can go inside and take advantage of everything at the Children's Museum. All of that is coming up on Thursday, August 6th. It's the Back to School Fitness event at the Children's Museum.
Hey, Sharon.
Yeah?
You know what pirates like to do on the weekends?
Art openings?
And visit the art museum? Yeah, well, okay, if you've had it...
Put a pump. Yeah. And never a parrot when you need one.
Why are we making pirate jokes?
I don't know. You're
going to tell me. It's because the Pirate Art Group Show is taking place down at the Garfield Park Arts Center. This is part of their big... their Pirate Sand Adventure.
Festival.
Right.
Oh.
And they've got sand sculptors who are down there that are using 200 tons of sand that they've brought in this summer. They're creating a 100-ton pirate ship and all these other cool magical sea creatures out of sand. Plus, there's an art exhibit featuring over 25 swashbuckling visual artists. Local work, including, among other artists, Emma Overman has worked down there at the Garfield Park Art Center. Art Center.
Ahoy, matey. Hand me that titanium white. There are so many pirates around this summer. Can I just say, we better do something special for Talk Like a Pirate Day in September. Well, pirates, I don't think, have a thing to do with this next event. But if you're a pirate and planning on going, drop me an email at artofthematter@wfyi.org and let me know. It's the Carmel Art of Wine in the Carmel Arts and Design District on Saturday, August 1st, from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. There'll be open galleries with wine tasting and complimentary hors d'oeuvres, and, of course, a chance to check out some art and maybe even buy some. Oh, I know what. When your kid goes to school, leaves for college, you can put art in his or her room.
There you go.
There you go. Let's push those kids out the door.
Hey, real quick, just want to give you a heads up that Symphony on the Prairie is, of course, continuing on through the rest of the summer. And next weekend features four popular Mozart works for the March Symphony on the Prairie weekend. It is Mozart by Moonlight. So if you've been looking forward to a little bit more classical, because they've been doing a lot of fun Pops concerts. In fact, this weekend they've got the Beatles, Magical Mystery, or Classical Mystery Tour. But next weekend they have a little bit of Mozart.
Very fun.
Mm-hmm.
18th century furniture design. No, it's not a class. We're not going to get in the Wayback Machine and figure out how to design 18th century furniture. It's a show going on at the Indianapolis Museum of Art, and you can view 18th century prints of furniture designs from France, Germany, and a lot especially from England, and learn a lot more about the furniture forms, many of which have been passed down to us even today or have inspired our more modern forms of furniture. That's going on at the Indianapolis Museum of Art.
There you go. And if you think furniture design is complicated, just imagine how complicated time travel is. Well, the do's and don'ts, because time travel is a bit tricky from what I've heard, but the do's and don'ts of time travel is actually a play that is running at the Phoenix Theater through August 15th. And so if you've ever wondered exactly how do you time travel, well, this is some theater that will sort of work as like an instruction manual. I actually saw it about 3 months from now. And that's all that we have on our calendar that we call
What'll We Do? The Back to School Edition.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
Artists Jay Parnell and Jacobina Trump spent May in Holland for an international painting invitational. A group show of the work they created from this experience will take place at the Dean Johnson Gallery in September. Travis DiNicola spoke with Jay and with Jacobina about the trip and the new show.
Jacobina, Jay, welcome to Art of Matter. Jay, it's always great to see you. And Jacobina, it's delightful to meet you. And I'm looking forward to hearing about your trip to Holland last May, and of course the upcoming show at Dean Johnson Gallery. What I'd like to start with is just sort of how the two of you first got connected. It was through the Stutz building?
Yeah, I have a studio in the Stutz, and Jay had a studio there for a year, right?
Yes.
In the Artists in Residency program.
So you two, you met through that, and Jacobina, you're from Holland and originally, so you knew about this opportunity for artists to go to Holland from all over the world, essentially, correct?
Yeah, you can apply for it,
mm-hmm.
And then it's not really a professional way of dealing with artists, but they see if you like your work.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be professional work,
mm-hmm.
And they see if they like you, and then they put a group together of 30 people.
So 30 people, artists from all over the world that get to go to Holland for a period of time, live there. We'll talk about all the details in a minute. But obviously, I mean, you wanted to go back because you are Dutch. But what made you think Jay might be a good person to go to Holland with you?
He's professional. He's fun to be with. He functions well in a group. And I think, I don't know.
He's a pretty good artist, too.
Well, when I say it's professional, I mean that an artist is good.
Jay, what did you think when Jacobina first came to you with this proposal?
I was extremely excited about it. I mean, for one, I had never been to Europe before.
Mm-hmm.
So this was an extremely exciting opportunity for me to not only go to Holland, but to go to Europe for the first time. And that's what I was really excited about. The opportunity just was out of this world. And to go with somebody like Jacobina was great because she is also a professional artist and fun to be around. She functions well in a group, too.
So the experience of being there, you actually got to stay with a family while you were there. Let me backtrack a little bit. It's a village, I believe, where
yes.
Where both of you were. And this village has some history in the world of art with Modrian.
Piet Mondrian was part of an artist colony 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it started.
And what's the name of the village?
Domburg.
Okay.
That's hard for you guys.
Slightly. Jay, had you heard of this before at all? Or?
No, I had not heard of it until Jacobina told me about it, and then I did a little research
mm-hmm.
on it and found out a little bit more. But the information that Jacobina gave me was more than I found on the internet and several places that I looked. But it more than exceeded my expectations once I got there. I mean, the village was lovely. The light was beautiful. It was a little cooler than I expected, but
yeah.
Everything else was wonderful. And I think what made the village what it was were the people there. The people were incredible. They were the most polite, genuine people I had ever met in my entire life. I always joke with my friends since I've been back that it was like being in Disneyland, except the people and places were real. You know, I mean, that was great because, you know, all the historical buildings and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the things that Disney strives for, this is the real place. You know, the cobblestone roads and
mm-hmm.
the old buildings and, you know, some of the places had horse-drawn carriages and canals with boat tours and things like that. And it was an incredible experience.
Now, do you speak any Dutch yourself?
I have like 3 words in my repertoire, and that's about it.
So, but you stayed with a family while you were there, and got to meet some people, and sort of
yes.
part of the expectation was what that you would spend a lot of your time painting, hanging out with other artists, and then there was sort of a show at the end, and
yes,
part of a festival.
Yes,
tell me a bit more about that.
Well, I mean, we did stay with host families.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed with Caroline de Sutter, and she is the descendant of one of the original artists that founded the artist group in Domburg. And she was an incredible host. She has a summer home there in Domburg, and I stayed in her flat and painted there as well. And we had an incredible time hanging out with other artists, and I also found some Dutch friends that I hung out
yeah.
with and drank Belgian beer and
well,
had
course.
Great espressos, and
and had a great party at the end. The whole time it was just a pleasant experience to fellowship with other artists and to be inspired by the environment. Mm-hmm. For me, I was constantly doing a compare and contrast to America. I mean, because, like I said, this was my first trip to Europe, and so I was trying to see, well, what's different and what's the same? And there are a lot of similarities, but there are a lot of differences, too. I mean, the life is slower. They have more bikes there than they have cars, and I found that to be very refreshing to, you know, be able to
And I heard something like the average person in Holland will ride like 500 miles a year on their bike, just, you know, commuting to work or to the grocery store or what have you.
I can believe that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought I'm someplace and I'm not exercising as much as I want to, but I lost weight because I wasn't driving a car. I was riding my bike all over the place. Mm-hmm. And jogging in the mornings, and so it just, I mean, it all equaled out. It was just, like I said, it was a really fun time, and it functioned like somewhat like a sabbatical because you're away from your everyday grind, and you get to experience the wonderful things that we got there.
Now, Jacob, being your experience obviously was somewhat different. For Jay, this was his first time in Europe, obviously first time in Holland. You were, in a sense, it was sort of a homecoming for you, going back to Holland after not living there for a number of years, I believe. And now, this festival, was this something that you had known about when you used to live in Holland? Was it something you had aspired to before, or was this just sort of something you found out about in a way to get back there and spend some time there for you?
It only exists, this was his sixth year.
Oh, so it's pretty new. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I was there already last year.
Uh-huh.
And for me, it feels like a homecoming for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I bring all my images home and I can show them, which is great. But also, it feels like the whole world is coming to my village. It's not really my village, but that's how I feel. Mm-hmm. So to see Russians to show interest in my little home is very nice. Yeah.
People, so Russians, Americans,
Argentinians.
Yeah. And the artists who were there, all types of artwork, or was it primarily realistic or figurative
all
or
types.
Abstract? Or
all types.
Yeah, all types. Majority of it is, I would say, realist or in some impressionism.
Mm-hmm.
But it did kind of run the gamut. It stuck to, you know, kind of the category of, there was quite a bit of impressionism with landscapes and people, and then you had people that were a little more realistic, but it was...
Don't forget the Hungarian guy with that colorful palette.
Very colorful palette, very colorful palette.
Sounds like there's a story there. Did he use some of that blue that you avoid in your own paintings, Jay?
You know, I've made peace with
blue
recently.
I've made peace with blue.
But he used a lot of really bright colors.
Uh-huh.
He used a lot of really bright colors.
Only
bright colors.
Now, were artists painting outside as well as in studios, or how? How important is the place you're painting to the work that you're creating?
It is not. Mm-hmm. I am outside as much as I'm inside. But it's the same. I paint a landscape, or, for example, when I'm in a studio, I paint more from fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a beautiful vacation home from somebody which had enough room for me to create my own little studio, which was great. So I could paint a little bit more from fantasy. Also,
and when you say fantasy,
big.
I know that you like to paint like sort of tropical scenes from times you would spend in the tropics, right? Is
uh-huh.
that sort of, I mean, is that imagining something like that? Is that what you mean when you say paint from fantasy? Or we're not talking, you know, dragons, are we? Or
are we dragons?
Okay, okay. Well, that's sort of fitting.
Today
yeah.
I have
yeah.
not in Domburg, but this was the fantasy from realistic
mm-hmm.
landscapes connecting and nude study I did the
mm-hmm.
year before, and connecting that with the Dutch costume that I know very well.
Yeah.
So that is fantasy. That was one of my bigger paintings I had in the show.
Now, is that one that will be seen at the Dean Johnson Gallery in
No,
September?
That's sold.
That's sold. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Jay, how about you? How does, the place affect your work?
Well, it didn't affect my work as in I am going to now create landscapes. It was the place was lovely, but
You're not a landscape painter.
I am not a landscape painter. I am not an alla prima painter or plein air. And I did all the above there. And it was a great freeing experience. But what Domburg did for me, it functioned as a sabbatical. And it allowed me to really free my mind to think about the work that I am currently doing here at home. And so while I don't paint what I saw there, that time allowed me to think more deeply about what I was doing. And so it took me away from my regular grind, so I'm not in front of it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, the whole analogy, so close to the forest you can't see the trees. That's how it was. And this kind of gave me a gap in time where, in space and place, where I can focus on my current body of work. So once I've gotten back, since I've been back, I've been able to focus on my current body of work, which is related to my Creative Renewal Grant.
Oh, it's for the through the Arts Council.
Yes.
Now tell me very quickly, the show that's going to be at the Dean Johnson Gallery in September, this is going to feature some of the work that you created there, but it's also somewhat of an educational show about Holland, about your experience there?
I'm making some educational pieces,
mm-hmm.
or at least especially for that show, so that the step from Indianapolis to Domburg is a little bit less shocking.
Jay, what can you tell me about? Tell me about one of the pieces that you'll be showing in September.
Well, the work that I'll be showing in September is related to Domburg and my experience in Holland so much as the freeness that I mm-hmm. got in that, and the fact that I learned that I can paint much faster than I ever knew. So that's part of.
So you're making a lot more work now.
I'm making work a lot
time.
Quicker. Yes, yes. Well, I have less time too. But the work that I'm doing is related to, like I said, the Creative Renewal Grant, which is a series that was conceived a couple of years mm-hmm. back, and I've just continued that series, which has to deal with ancestors and spirituality and the messages the ancestors bring to us in daily life.
Travis DiNicola with Jay Parnell and Jacobina Trump. The exhibit Bridge to Holland opens September 4th at the Dean Johnson Gallery on Mass Ave. For more information, visit deanjohnson.com. deanjohnson.com.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Vaselli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4.
I'll chat with Gregory Hancock about his upcoming dance production featuring the Naptown Roller Girls.
I get to meet a barbershop quartet chorus.
Plus, we'll have a preview of the upcoming Fringe Festival. And, of course, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What'll
We Do?
So please listen next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter is made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by grants from the Arts Council of Indianapolis and from the City of Indianapolis and by support from the Central Indiana Community Foundation, the Indiana Arts Commission, a state agency, and by the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.